Novel Ideas Podcast.
The Novel Ideas Podcast, the podcast with two siblings who love books.
But he didn't like this book that much.
Well, not that much. Nor did I read it recently.
For our 100th-ish special episode, Ben and I are finally podcasting Twilight, which we read last summer.
Yeah, before Gabs left for school, I've read it that one time. At that time.
I think I've actually read it a total of 3 times now, unfortunately. Wow. I'm a twihard. So we thought a fun approach to this instead of rereading Twilight would be to create a drinking game while we record the episode for Twilight. And we have an audience in the background who will help keep us drinking.
Yay!
So for anyone playing along at home, fix up drink.
That's right.
And
actually for us, a quick technical note, if we could get something to rest these on so we're not clicking the table that the recorder's sitting on constantly.
Oh yeah, that is pretty annoying.
Yeah.
Oh wait, hey!
Like a towel or a thick coaster. Yeah, that'll work.
I forgot we had.
Oh jeez.
Come on.
Adorable.
That should make some difference. And I'll cut all that out.
Okay.
Unless I don't. TV.
You do that sometimes.
Well, are you going to introduce the audience?
Do we have to?
No.
No.
Take a drink every time Tony thinks he's more important than he is. Yes, we have Dr. Anthony Finari, best known from our Shakespeare podcasts. Today, just here to be...
Bartender.
We have our mother, the elusive Heather, and we have our friend Kim, who is...
refereeing, but pregnant, so I'm going to inflict misery on you.
Yeah. So there you go. That's the crowd for today. I'm Gabs, as usual.
I'm still Ben. And we're actually recording in the same place, unlike the last few episodes. You could probably already tell by the audio quality.
Hooray! One day, just for you, dear listeners, Ben and I will live in the same city again.
But that's the only reason.
That's the only reason. Otherwise, we...
For our unpaid vanity project.
Yes, so as we said, we are reading Twilight, or we read Twilight.
Yes, and to bone back up, I read Growing Up Colon, the hilarious live journal series.
Yes. Yeah, which everyone should read because it's like more canon than the actual book, I'm pretty sure.
I'll put a link
they
in the...
They predict canon in a few things, yeah. It's amazing.
I'll put a link in what passes for show notes.
Very professional. What was our inspiration for this book?
I think it was Twilight Law.
Yeah. That sounds about right. Stephanie Meyer, as everyone maybe knows by now, had a wet dream about a vampire in a field in the bright sunlight and ended up writing Twilight because of it. Because she's a repressed Mormon housewife.
Really? Really? Yeah, that is true.
Yes, wow. That is a fact. Just a fun Twilight fact. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Well, it's already more fun than I thought.
Yes.
Does she wear the Mormon underwear?
Probably.
No.
I've never seen her underwear. So
I didn't know women wore them.
I mean, I asked her.
Yeah, they both did.
I asked her to show me once, but she said no.
And then Ben sadly hung his head.
You're not my husband or a vampire. Should I just go then?
Yes.
Well, I don't think that's that unreasonable. I don't know if I would show my underwear to, like, a non-husband non-vampire. So
what about a husband non-vampire?
That's okay.
Oh.
That's acceptable.
And how about a vampire non-husband?
Yeah, I'm not sure about
that. How whiny is these vampires?
No, definitely not these vampires.
Yeah, well, is it the thing that they need to see to go away and leave you alone? Because then maybe.
That might work. Yeah,
all right. Do I see your underwear? Are you going to go if I do? Yeah. All right, here.
But that would work for non-vampires too, Ben.
I think we should take a drink every time we make up new vampire lore.
New vampire lore.
So showing your underwear to a vampire.
To make
so
them leave you alone.
Drink!
Acceptable. Okay, So genre, there is actually a YA genre now that is called paranormal romance.
I've heard of it.
Clap, 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 clap. So I would say Twilight falls into that category.
Yeah.
It was one of the originals. We say it was one of the originals or just the first really popular one?
Probably that.
Okay.
The first one that sold a million copies.
Maybe. Yeah, yeah.
A billion, yeah.
Though, since something like 60% of book sales are romance books, that's probably not correct.
That's very sad.
Very true. It's not sad, but I will explain publishing to you later.
No thanks.
I can give you a full history from the beginning
sure
of the United
can.
States.
Please don't.
So the Gutenberg press was invented.
No.
Drink.
For being
tangent.
Non sequitur.
Sad. Plot synopsis.
Century old man stalks high school girl because she smells nice.
Like
fair. That is fair. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say creepy stalker somehow comes across as romantic. That's my plot synopsis.
100-something-year-old guy stalks girl. She's oblivious. Nothing happens until they get together and somebody else tries to kill her.
Yeah.
For funsies.
That's accurate.
Probably.
This is one of those books where the plot doesn't actually kick in until about 3/4 of the way through.
And it's like a... inch and a half thick book.
Yeah. Pasty boy tsundere's pasty girl, except he's not really a boy and she's not really pasty.
What?
I don't know. Huh?
You made an anime reference. You take a drink.
Yes.
You dumb butt.
Gab's insulted me. Drink.
Fine. So the setting of this book is Forks, Washington, which apparently now has a booming tourist economy.
Oh my god.
So that's actually a place.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
A booming tourist economy based on people who don't exist.
Yes.
Yes.
It was chosen because she Googled rainiest place in the U.S. and that was it.
And she's like, oh, that's a good place for vampires to live.
Mm-hmm.
I guess so.
So people go there hoping to catch glimpses of
no, like you can go on like a tour of like... like, some people who lived there actually converted their home to be the Swan household. So you can visit Bella's home, and you can visit her high school, and you can visit, like...
That was probably genius from them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'd consider making a living that
They're
way.
Probably rich now, so
yeah,
I don't
sure
blame them.
Are.
Capitalizing on literature. Go you.
And oh, what literature it is.
So Bella originally comes from Phoenix, Arizona, and she moves to Forks because... her mom gets married, and she has this really weird self-sacrificing streak where she's like, mom needs to be with her husband all the time, because if you're with a man, you can't be away from him ever. So she moves to Forks to live with her dad, who she hasn't talked to in, like, years, probably.
Probably. They're super awkward. It's great.
Yes.
Charlie/Mr. Mustache.
Charlie/Mr. Mustache.
Yeah, so the books are first-person point of view. I think they're past tense, but I can't actually remember. But that's what I'm going to go with.
I don't remember either.
Seems like a solid decision.
Well, from my memory, most recent memory of reading something involving Twilight characters, it's mostly in dialogue.
And all caps.
And there are several blank pages.
No, not in this one.
Not in the first book.
That's when she gets dumped and she goes to emo depression.
That means I have to drink.
Nothing happens.
Yeah.
There you go.
Fool. Ben's drinking for you. So who's our protagonist? The intrepid Isabella Swan. Who single-handedly made Isabella one of the top 10 girls' baby names.
Yeah.
Which is easily the most important and impressive thing she did in this book.
Bella.
Oh, Bella. She is the anthropomorphic representation of a teenager. She's clumsy. That's her main character
trait. Yeah, that's okay.
I'd say that's accurate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She's one of those blank slate protagonists created so that all young girls and apparently middle-aged mothers who read the book can imagine themselves as being her, I guess.
Well, isn't she supposed to be like a surrogate for the author in some ways, too?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Because they had the same color, hair, eyes. Color.
And they had the widow's peak, right?
Oh, yeah. I saw that picture of the author photo where someone had pointed out all of the traits in her face that matched the descriptions of Bella.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 9 things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So I mean, but like we said, this book stemmed from the author having like a wet dream about a vampire. So, I mean, it's not that surprising.
Yeah,
it's basically just wish fulfillment, which
fair enough.
I've never made that much money off of wish fulfillment.
Yeah. So...
Yeah, good for her.
Fair enough.
Impressed.
Yeah, but Bella's other main trait seems to be that she doesn't appreciate that people like her, and it's kind of a mystery why people like her.
It is.
That's the bigger mystery.
That's the real mystery of this book. It's not what is Edward Cullen, but why do people like Bella?
It's Bella, and she's new here, so we're fascinated by her, even though she has the personality of one of the blank pages from the second book.
Yeah. Like, all the she's like, I'm going to be the new kid, so I'm going to be... outcast, and like you expect everyone to be like teaser because that's what usually happens in books, and then instead they're all like, we're like 1950s G-shucks with the new girl kids.
Golly, Bella, welcome to town. You want to walk down into the soda jerk and have a sundae together?
And she's like, God, I'm so impressed.
I wish someone here hated me so I could enjoy my life. And Edward's like, I don't like you. While staring very intensely.
She's like, perfect. This is a relationship built on a strong foundation.
Sploosh.
It is the wettest place in America.
The second wettest place in America. After Bella's loins.
Oh. Stupid.
Drink.
Also, I think we have to take a drink for saying Edward was creepy, but Bella thought it was romantic.
That's quite true. Yep. You cut that with something.
Sure.
Yeah, so the other thing we know about Bella is she faints at the sight of blood.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that.
Yeah, they have to figure out their blood type in class, and makes her pass out for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Bella's not a very prominent character in Growing Up Cullen.
Bella's not a very prominent character in her own life.
That's fair.
Why is she so angsty all the time?
Well, she's angsty because she had to move away from home. But she had to move away from home because she decided she had to move away from home, not because her mom asked her to. So we don't actually know.
She's 17.
I think it's because she's 17.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's the whole explanation, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the other thing that I enjoy about, speaking of like 1950s, like, if, you know, this book was set in like a Leave It to Beaver sort of thing, is that her dad, who has been living by himself for 17 years, apparently does not know how to cook.
Right?
He tries to make spaghetti, and he, like, burns the noodles.
Oh, God, that's right.
And so she just cooks all of his meals for him.
How do you burn noodles?
You boil the water out?
He
do
might
you know
have,
how long that takes?
He might not have burned them. He might have just, like, made them into, like, a lumpy mass. But I was like, if you can't boil spaghetti noodles, how has this man not died of starvation, like, a decade ago?
When she got to the house, he weighed 92 pounds and had, like, 7 vitamin deficiencies.
Yeah, but they eat at that diner, right?
After
the
toddler.
Okay. Yeah, in the movie, they eat at the diner more often, but in the book, it's mostly, like, Bella goes to school, comes home, makes her dad up a fancy dinner, because apparently she knows how to cook.
Man.
And then she, like, does all of her homework, and then she's like, I hate everything. And she goes to bed. After she listens to Muse. Because Muse is apparently Stephenie Meyer's favorite band.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Are they Mormons?
No. I'm actually not sure exactly how that happened.
Now, I guess they're a little whiny.
Now, if you're Muse, is that a good or a bad thing?
Well, they probably sold a lot more albums.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Honey?
So.
Mm-hmm. Hi.
Yeah.
Would you please grab the extra paper wipes?
Right.
We'll cut that. Or not.
Drink.
my.
That sounded bad.
I'm fascinated to see how much of this the mic picks up. I put it back to the low setting because there was so much background noise on the last episode.
I've listened to episodes before where, like, there's silence and then both of us just start laughing because something happened, but, like, you can't actually hear it on the mic.
I try to amplify it when that happens, and sometimes there's enough signal that it means something, and sometimes it doesn't.
We can keep going.
All right.
So other than Bella, who do we have of significance?
Well, obviously Edward.
Edward Cullen.
He's such a dreamboat.
Oh. Does he have a middle name?
Does he?
I don't know. I'm asking.
Oh.
Edward Elizabeth Cullen.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I'm imagining like a late 19th century, early 20th century woman's name.
Well, he died of the Spanish flu in 1917, so...
Edward Maud Cullen.
That sounds about right, let's go with that. So yeah, as I said, Edward died when he was 17 of the Spanish influenza, and Carlisle was a doctor at the time and was like, I need a friend. And apparently that was his only motivation, was like Edward was one of his patients and he thought he needed a friend, so he turned him into a vampire.
That's almost like a children's book representation of vampires. Like the loneliest vampire. And then one day the loneliest vampire met a boy and he thought, maybe we could be friends.
Basically. Yeah. Carlisle's other motivation turning people into vampires seems to be, you need a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Because the reason he turned Esme into a vampire was he was like, she's kind of hot. She could be my girlfriend, basically. And then when Edward was lonely...
She was suicidal, too. Don't forget that.
Esme?
Esme was suicidal and about to just had jumped off a cliff.
I thought that...
And so he was rescuing her from death by turning her into a vampire because she was hot.
Oh.
And he thought she'd be sweet or something.
But
so.
She got better.
Good. Yeah, exactly. Good. I was remembering the movie version, which is they were both in the hospital. So.
I hate that I remember that.
I guess I have to take a drink now.
Yeah, for some reason, the producers didn't think that that would be that appealing to audiences, I guess.
Well, so
I'd forgotten that, too.
One of the big reasons Carlisle turns Rosalie into a vampire is because he wanted Edward to have a girlfriend, but then the two of them didn't get along, so then he turned Emmett into a vampire so Rosalie and Emmett could get together.
He turned Emmett to a vampire because they needed a bro.
We need a bro vampire.
We need a bro vampire.
Emmett is the best of the Cullens.
We need someone who's better at baseball in the family.
Very important. I think we also have to take a drink for liking Emmett.
All right.
That's a rule.
Let's do that.
Yeah. Emmett doesn't actually have a personality in the books. So.
No, he doesn't. So yeah, Edward. Back to Edward. So Edward's a giant creep who's been going to high school for the past 100 years.
So.
How boring.
I know.
Right?
Wouldn't you at least just go to college or something?
I think they occasionally go to college.
Hey.
So am I to understand that he is just supposed to be the world's most beautiful 17-year-old boy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But he looks 17.
Yes.
And that's why he keeps being in high school.
Yes.
All right. Just checking.
Which is, like, hilarious because 17-year-olds are, like, not... They look like 17-year-olds.
Occasionally a 17-year-old is attractive by accident.
Yeah.
Mostly they're just still
drawing. Well, it's really because as a vampire, everything about him is designed to draw people in so he can kill them.
Yes, that's
it's
right.
Like,
oh,
so
God,
Stephanie
you just quoted, please drink.
Because Stephanie Meyer's version of the vampire is that, like, they're beautiful and they sparkle in the sunlight and all that shit because, like, their whole being is designed so that humans, like, want to be close to them.
Yeah.
Right.
So that it's easier to feed.
Mm-hmm.
Vampire pheromones.
But the Cullens are vegetarians. Because they only feed on animal blood, which is not what vegetarian means,
yeah,
but...
Technically, eating animal blood, not vegetarian.
Yeah, not even that,
technically.
Well, she makes some weird, like, soy milk reference, like, drinking animal blood is like drinking soy milk or something.
Yeah.
Like, no,
it's like
not.
Eating tofu for every meal for the rest of your life. Like,
Well, then kill yourself.
That's why they live in Forks, so they get hungry and gnaw down a tree.
Yeah, there you go. What is it? Edward likes mountain lions and Emmett likes grizzly bears?
Something like that. Yeah.
Gross.
It's terrible.
I have a diet only consisting of soy milk and apex predators.
Hipster vampires.
Hipster vampires. There are their hipsters.
I'm taking a drink to dull the pain. Yeah, so apparently the whole thing is because Carlisle is a doctor, he has to be a part of the community, which means that his like adopted children, who are these other vampires, have to go to school so people don't get suspicious.
Right.
Whereas their relatives were smart and just moved to a remote part in Alaska where no one would fucking bother them so they could do whatever they wanted.
Mm-hmm. So in Carlisle's world, no one's ever heard of weirdo homeschoolers?
No, I guess not.
That's the new doctor at the hospital with the really pale teenage children who never leave the house. I think they're homeschooled.
They're probably Mormon or something, I don't know. So yeah, and if you've read Midnight Sun, which I have.
Yeah, I have too.
What's it's Midnight Sun?
Twilight from Edward's point of view.
Oh my god, really?
Stephanie Meyer started writing it, and then someone got the manuscript and leaked it online, and she got so butthurt that she stopped writing it.
Yes.
But you can read like the first chunk of it.
Okay.
It's magnificent.
And
it's exactly the same dialogue, but with Edward basically going on and on and on about how tasty Bella smells in this like horrifically like serial murder.
Yeah, he literally has a moment when she first walks into the science class where he fantasizes for half of the class about how long it would take him to murder every single person in the room so that he could drain Bella of her blood. For like an extended fantasy.
It goes on like pages.
He's like, well, I guess we could move away if we had to.
I haven't smelled someone this delicious since Francis Bacon.
Inside joke, Frank.
And later he tells Emmett about it, and Emmett's like, oh, I smelled a lady like that once. I killed the shit out of her.
Okay, that point, Emmett is actually awesome.
So I think the main thing that Edward, his main personality trait is, for some reason, being in love with Bella for no reason.
And repression.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, repression. Heavy Christiness. On the repression.
Yeah.
Prissiness.
Climbing into her window while she sleeps at night and watching her sleep without her knowing for weeks on end.
Mm-hmm. Which is actually true because he does that in Midnight Sun.
He actually, the first time he opens the window, it creaks, and he goes, I'm going to have to get something to make sure that doesn't creak.
Edward.
And, like, fixes her window, and then she opens it one day, and Twilight is surprised that it's not creaking anymore.
Yeah. So I guess Stephanie Meyer actually bothered continuity on that front.
There's total continuity. It's terrifying.
I think the thing that pissed me off the most, the first, like, every time I've read the book, but especially the first time, is when Edward tells Bella what he's been doing, she's like, is it wrong that I'm kind of flattered? I'm like, yes.
Yep.
Call the police. Yes.
Thanks for asking.
Nail your window shut and run away. Are you kidding me?
Okay, I have a question.
Yes.
Normally, in a vampire universe here, they have weaknesses.
Yes.
Are there any weaknesses to these vampires? Or did she just retcon that out?
If you tear off their heads and set them on fire, they die.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I could take them out left and right. Because I'm, like, super strong.
Well, see, because they no longer have the weakness of the sun.
Oh, yeah, they have no...
Right, because they sparkle in the sun.
Holy water, that whole that's Christian not a thing.
They love garlic.
That's not a thing.
I know.
Not in this book.
A stake through the heart doesn't kill them any more than it would kill me, I would
think. Mm-hmm.
Which is to say, it would kill them, probably.
Does Edward even say it? No, I'm thinking, I was going to say, doesn't Edward say at one point, like, if you cut off their hand, it grows back? But that's a fledgling.
That's right.
If you cut off their body part, it slowly grows back.
Drink, other bone.
That was another vampire book that we read.
Because I keep thinking, you know, like, in True Blood, you know, they have...
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's different variations on the genre, but...
I honestly think all monsters should have one weakness because that's how it makes sense.
Right.
Like,
it makes it interesting.
Right. If they're invulnerable, then...
Yeah.
But as far as I know, Edward's only kryptonite is Bella's vagina, so...
Oh, in her blood?
Yeah, in her blood.
Those two are probably related.
So I will say, people, because Edward's, like, so attracted to Bella's blood, a bunch of fans asked Stephanie Meyer, so what does Edward do while Bella's on her period? Like, is he, like, does he just have to leave her alone for a week, or does he, like, dig through her trash and, like, lick up the pads, or, like, and Stephanie Meyer was just like, that's gross.
Stephanie Meyer was like, what's a period?
That's a valid question.
She's like, oh, you mean Eve's sin?
Yes, that's exactly what I mean.
I think it's a valid question, too. She came up with some baloney about how dead, it's like, period blood is apparently dead blood. And doesn't affect them.
Even that's not medically true.
That's not.
No, it's not. Right. That's what she said.
How can it be dead? It's full of baby.
It's a dead baby.
Actually, not by the time it comes out.
No.
So, yeah. Nope, wrong again.
Yeah, tried.
I'm going to drink because Stephanie Meyer doesn't know how the body works. Clearly. All right. So, who else do we have besides Bella and Edward?
Alice. The only awesome character.
Not... what does she do in this book?
We learn that she can
see the future.
Right.
Which they say with a caveat, isn't always true, but then in all four books ends up being always true every time.
Yeah, every time.
So I call bull on that one.
It isn't always true. Like, doing some weird, like, indeterminacy future thing where we don't know for sure, but
if someone else made a decision that could change, but
no one actually has free will, so it won't happen.
Especially when it comes to being at one with your man. That's actually something I just remembered. So I realized reading the book, once Bella and Edward like get together, like in the second half, she stops walking places. Edward literally just picks her up.
That's true.
And carries her around.
Oh, God.
Like,
yeah.
Like, all the time. She just, like, stops walking.
Whoa.
Well, she has to. She's so clumsy. She might get hurt.
Well, she does break her leg. No, the vampire that constitutes the plot, like, breaks her leg at some point.
Yeah, the one time she goes somewhere not being carried, she gets attacked by vampires.
What? I remember there's this scene in the book where, like, the two of them kiss, and she basically, like, passes out, and then Edward, like, carries her across the house because she cannot function. And I'm like, okay.
I mean, I just carry Erica all around the apartment.
Well, you'd better.
Yeah.
That's because she deserves it for putting up with your nonsense. So I did just want to point that out. That's horrifying.
I remember that now. That it's very bad. Is that symbolic? I mean, intentionally? Probably not.
I don't know.
I'm going to say not intentionally.
Probably not intentional. Yeah. Symbolic, yes.
Weird subconscious
stuff. Books are very obsessed with, like, how much stronger Edward is, and so I think that's just, like, showing, like, that he's so powerful and he can just, like, carry her around like she's nothing kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. So he can stop a car with one hand.
Yeah, kind of nonsense. Mm-hmm. So...
He can stop a conversation with one sentence. He's so strong.
Maybe.
He walks into a room and says, excuse me, you need a coaster before you put that down. And everyone's like,
why aren't you wearing that sweater I knit for you?
Get out! Edward!
I spent a lot of time on that.
I would never hang out with Edward.
He's the worst.
He's terrible.
His family is actually overall fairly likable in the first book.
In the first book.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In the later books, not as much.
No, they go down.
But then we learn to forgive Rosalie for being a bitch because all along she just wanted to be a mother.
That's right. Oh, is that her deal?
Yes.
Oh.
That she really wanted a baby and she got turned into a vampire and vampire women can't have babies.
Why didn't she just steal one?
But Tony has a question.
Can male vampires have babies?
Well, they can impregnate people.
So why is it worse for one sex and not the other?
Because the explanation...
Yes.
Well.
Patriarchy.
Her explanation, again...
What is the explanation? Patriarchy.
I'm kind of disturbed by how many Twilight facts I know, by the way.
I know, right?
Like, I know way too much about these damn books.
Mm-hmm. Tony, I have a problem.
Okay.
We'll pour a new one for you.
You got that.
He can't find the green tree.
Sorry. Find the green tree.
I know, we'll edit this part out.
No, it's fine. We have a new audience member who's two. How old is Will?
Two.
Okay, I was right. Thank God. So, what the fuck was I going to say? Oh, Stephanie Meyer's explanation for why male vampires can impregnate people but female vampires can't get pregnant is vampire bodies don't really change. And okay. So to be pregnant, your body has to change far too much.
I hear
and
that.
Then she says, and then she says, but because the male body basically doesn't change at all, then it can still, like, be producing sperm in 100 years from now.
Yeah, that's why I still
and
have
and every
the...
doctor ever is like, yeah, bodies don't change, okay.
That's why I still have the cut physique and giant head of a 4-year-old.
So, I mean, I think patriarchy is, like, a pretty fair explanation.
Yeah.
Honestly. Yeah. Should we just take a drink every time Will, like, dumps shit everywhere?
So, at what point during the change process does the vampire develop a child brain?
Dracula reference!
Drink.
I would argue Edward has a child brain.
I would also argue that.
So the explanation the book offers as to why it's not creepy for a 117-year-old to be, like, stalking a 17-year-old is because the age you're changed at is, like, the emotional and mental maturity you stay at.
I see.
You can't develop beyond it. So Edward is, like, mentally a 17-year-old for the rest of his life.
I see.
Which is why he likes a 17-year-old.
I see.
So he does have a child brain to an extent. I think that's a fairly fair analysis of Edward's character.
Yeah. So Mina Harker would pwn his ass.
Well. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Our audience is shrinking.
Well, we're replacing a woman with a child, so it's basically the same.
Child brain.
So I would argue the only interesting vampire in this book is Carlisle.
I liked Carlisle.
I actually like his backstory quite a lot.
I mean, when you point out why he turns people into vampires, that makes him slightly less appealing.
Yeah.
But why does he turn people into vampires? Because
he wants friends.
Because he wants friends. Or he wants his friends to have someone to fuck.
Yeah. Those are the two reasons he turns people into vampires.
The people who would have been dead anyway. Those
Tony's brain just broke.
Yeah. But we could get into the whole suicide, successful suicide / conversion thing. That's a deep well right there.
It actually seems like the biggest dick move ever. You find somebody who's suicidal and you make sure that they will be
they
alive
can never die.
Forever.
I mean, she seems
that he does that
to Esme.
Oh my god, she seems happy now.
Yeah,
she's serene.
Well, it's because she has a man.
Yeah.
Well, obviously.
I mean, clearly.
I mean, no woman who had a man would kill herself. It's like, oh, I want to die. Oh, nope, there's a dick. I'm good.
Yeah. That's why she was killing herself before. She was like, nobody will date me.
That rock is shaped like a penis. Maybe I jump off this cliff, I'll land on it.
I hate you.
Drink.
But yeah, but Carlisle kind of has the classic, like, I was alive in the 1500s, and, like, mm-hmm. my dad was, like, a vampire hunter, and then, like, one of them was pissed at him, so they turned me.
For the record, if I was a vampire, that would be on my to-do list.
What?
These fucking vampire hunters. I'm like, what? Where's your son?
You ass.
You just killed, like, 6 of my friends.
Oh, if you applied the whole, you know, vampire to being gay metaphor thing to this. Oh.
Yeah. Carlisle's dad's like a conservative preacher.
Westboro Baptist Church.
Going after these dangerous vampire gays. And
and then one of them turns his son gay.
I think it's funny you mention that because I was actually going to just about to bring up the religious metaphor, because when you turn into a vampire, you can divert them.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
and they become perfect. Mm-hmm. They have perfect eternal bodies.
And they live in giant family units.
Okay, so I do have to mention this, even though it's not in book one. You discover in book three that if you turn a Hispanic or a black person into a vampire, they turn white.
Oh my god!
Oh yeah, they do.
In the movies, they got rid of that. But yeah. In the books... Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah,
like,
they get noticeably lighter.
Jasper's talking about turning Hispanic people into vampires, and they turn white.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Mm-mm. Oh, no. And meanwhile, the Native Americans, who have, not exactly white skin, all turn into animals.
Okay, again.
It broke me.
Holy
Twilight Noob.
Yay!
We broke the Twilight Noob.
Horrify the Twilight Noob is the best game ever.
You broke Will.
Yes, that is a thing.
Okay.
So, according to certain religions, that would even be a purity,
Well, isn't that Mormonism has that in it, doesn't it?
Mormonism was
what?
Racist.
That sort of, underlying racism.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no interracial marriage.
The white people came over from Europe and conquered the godless natives in the Book of Mormon.
Would this be a rude moment to bring up the Lamanites and the Nephilim?
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying. And then brown-haired, white-skinned, blue-eyed Jesus had his second coming in Independence, Missouri and said, "Kill the darkie." Seriously, anyone who listens to this show who's even a little bit conservative is just you guys are fucking dicks.
I didn't stop listening by now.
A while ago.
Drink.
Sorry, Mormons.
I'm allowed to say it because I used to date a Mormon.
You dated a Mormon?
I did.
Did you see his Mormon?
Story for another day.
Yeah.
I
don't want to offend any Mormon listeners, but your religion is literally insane.
Anywho. Yeah, so we have Charlie who can't take care of himself, Bella's mother who apparently can't take care of herself. Bella's kind of like that, I'm so mature,
Bella
teen.
Who can take care of herself but doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
Edward who can't take care of anyone.
That's because he has no soul.
So Carlisle, maybe that's why I like Carlisle, because he's the only self-sufficient character in the book.
And one thing I do think that is kind of cool about Carlisle, a cool concept, is that he trained himself to, not go into a bloodlust, and he's now a doctor.
Yeah.
And he works with, bleeding humans all the time. That's pretty cool.
Want to have some iron will and determination.
Yeah.
He could be the protagonist of a whole different story.
Yeah.
Yes.
And at the beginning of book two, so because Bella's clumsy, she cuts herself open accidentally at the Cullen house, and all the vampires are I need to leave the room, and they, all run out. But the chapter ends with, I saw, six bloodthirsty vampires before me or whatever. But then in the next chapter, it's everyone but Carlisle.
Out.
Not
yeah.
everyone but Edward. It's Carlisle's leave, everyone leave.
And he just,
And then he's just wraps around, him, no problem.
And then Edward has a shit fit and dumps her.
Yeah.
He says, I'll eat you someday, I shouldn't eat you. And yeah. So
she's please eat me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The book is one long, or all the books are just one long extended sex metaphor.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Where she's turn me into a vampire, Edward. And he's no. Fainting spell. Edward is a Victorian lady with a corset too tight.
Yes.
Wait, who fainted?
Edward.
Oh.
Edward's fainting because Bella's so immoral and shocking.
Yeah. For, wanting to jump him. She's really clear on that, too. She totally wants to jump him, and he just won't. I feel bad for her.
Yeah, I'm saying, I would never date Edward. He's the worst. If you're going to pick a vampire to screw, do not pick Edward.
Well, see,
he's way too high maintenance.
He stalks you. He psychologically manipulates you, and yet won't have sex with you.
Yeah.
Yep.
Until you're married.
Which is even worse.
Yeah. And he's but I won't turn you into a vampire either, because my soul's going to hell.
No, Emmett, I am not anal. There is just a right and a wrong way to do things. Your way happens to be wrong because it is filthy.
Hashtag growing up Poland. Take a drink.
Did you print that whole thing out?
I did, because our work kills a million trees.
Yeah, I used to print stuff out at work, so yeah. I never noticed. I've said so much. I'm like if Fisher Phillips ever actually listened to this podcast, they'd be like, you're fired. Like, yeah, I was at work today doing nothing, you know, just hanging out.
That's why I'll cut that out.
Yeah.
But probably not.
Gabs takes a drink
like every other time I talk.
So I just saw the thing on our island called plot points, and it's blank, and it's making me laugh because I don't think there are any plot points.
So what I remember is that there was an awkward, borderline cliche, teenagery, not romance, romance. And then at some point, she was in his car for no reason. And then at some point, she was, like, full of injuries because there was another vampire.
Oh, okay. So she goes to Portland or something with some friends.
Port Angeles
for, like, prom dress shopping.
I know that.
And for some reason, like, this group of, like, six dudes tries to rape her for no reason. Like, they like, corner, like, an abandoned alleyway, and they're all like, hey there, little lady. And then because, like, Edward's been, like, reading everyone's minds around her because he can't read hers.
Right.
He, like, goes and saves her and, like, drives her home. Oh! Also, fun fact. So after he saves her, they go to a restaurant and she orders mushroom ravioli. And the restaurant they go to is a real restaurant, but it did not have mushroom ravioli on the menu. And after Twilight, they put mushroom ravioli on the menu.
Of course.
So people can go to that restaurant and get what Bella got after Edward saved her from rapists.
I wonder if they also drink the, like, 128 ounces of Coke he forces down her throat to prevent shock. No, what you should drink more. You're going to go into shock. And she's looking at him like, you're pretty. And he's like, drink the Coke. So, okay.
He's like, the waitress totally wants to fuck me, by the way.
She gets all jealous, so he tells her to drink more Coke. She seriously drinks, like, a diabetes-inducing amount.
Yeah. So that's a thing. The living
That hell? Is some bass. Maybe. Or someone's dragging something.
Yeah, I think that's more like furniture.
Okay. So yeah, fun Twilight fact. I feel like I should take a drink every time I give a fun Twilight fact. Yeah, but the plot really kicks in at the end when they play
Baseball!
You get shot at the baseball game.
So the way they do this is...
That's right. Everyone listening, when vampire baseball is mentioned, you must finish your drink.
Yeah. And or take a shot.
Yes, that's right.
Cheers.
Take me out.
Shot.
To the vampire ball game.
So the way they do it is they play baseball during the thunderstorms, which mm-hmm. Alice predicts, because they throw the ball so fast and hit the ball so hard, it sounds like thunder and lightning. So if they do it during a storm, then it's okay. Because otherwise everyone would get freaked out. So my question, because I legitimately do not know, is does Oregon have thunderstorms?
They're in Washington.
They're in Washington. You are correct. That was dumb. I'm taking a break.
I hate that I know that.
Does Washington have thunderstorms?
Presumably.
I think so.
I know it rains a lot. But, like
only in parts of it, and parts of it are really, really dry.
Like, I would just imagine, there. Like, because, like, when I moved to Boston, it rains a lot, mm-hmm. but it storms, like, once a year.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, the East Coast thunderstorm. Hey, it thundered twice. Oh, no, it's severe.
I was going to say,
no,
maybe this is my Midwest bias.
Yeah.
Well, of course there are thunderstorms. Who doesn't have thunderstorms?
In Boston, one day this summer, it hailed briefly. And everyone was losing their minds because there's a tornado watch. And Scott and I were like, really? Like, this is not even close to as bad as it gets at home.
Where I'm from, it gets pumped up to tornado warning. The sirens come on and everyone's on their porch like,
where is it? Tony Googled it.
According to local news channel, Seattle is one of the rarest places to find thunderstorms.
Nice.
Nailed it.
Boom.
I'm taking a drink. Victory. So screw you, vampires. You should be living in Kansas if you want to play baseball.
That's right.
Not stupid Washington.
But they'll never be able to go outside.
There's more sun here, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
Although, not this summer. But anyway. Digression. Sorry.
So, this, like, there's this weird thing that, so another thing, like, going on with Stephenie Meyer's vampires is they all have some kind of, like, weird special power. Not all of them. Like, apparently it's super rare, but every vampire Bella knows has a special power, so I don't know if I believe that.
Does Emmett? I don't think Emmett does.
Emmett's his strength.
Oh, that's right.
What's your special power? I can, like, bench press a whole lot, bruh.
Yeah, he punches a rock in half in, like, book three or something, and that's his power.
Yeah, and then when Bella gets turned into a vampire, she arm wrestles.
Yeah, they arm wrestle.
Mad because, like, she wins. Because she has, like, fantastic newborn strength or something.
Yeah.
But isn't that the reverse of some vampire... What?
Theology. Yeah.
Vampire.
Theology. Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Okay, let's go. Because I always thought that the older the vampire, the stronger the vampire.
It's opposite in Stephenie Meyer's, and her explanation makes no sense because newborns are the most powerful because all the human blood's not out of them yet. But then vampires are way stronger than humans, so I don't know how human blood makes you stronger. Basically, she, again, doesn't understand biology, I think.
Yeah. So if you had just consumed a whole bunch of human blood, I mean, assuming you're a vampire, because if you're human, you would just throw up. would you then be extra strong? Maybe that's part of it.
Yeah. I kind of feel like what's his face, the angry blonde vampire that's attacking Bella, like makes fun of Edward for not eating human blood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I would have drank her blood forever ago.
Yeah. I'd feel better. I'm stronger than you or something.
She smells like vampire bacon.
Yeah.
Freesia.
Yeah.
Well, I want to eat Freesia constantly. I don't know about you.
I don't even
want to
smell like Freesia.
Well, I think traditionally vampires that are older are stronger because they've consumed more souls or demons or something.
But then, yeah, because, like, one of the other things that goes on is if, like, you get really old but you don't move around enough, then you, like, start becoming kind of, like, statue-like. The Volturi.
I will say Michael Sheen's great. I mean, it's not, but he's really great at it.
The first time I read... Okay, take a drink.
Side note, everybody should watch the third and fourth and fifth movies.
Michael Sheen was in the Twilight movies because his daughter loved the book so much, he was like, oh, like, I should do this. And then he realized it was ridiculous and was just like, I'm gonna ham this up as much as I fucking can.
And bless him for it.
Yeah. Oh, he's fantastic.
And he had more power than the directors in those movies anyway, so not like they could say no.
Yeah. He's like, I'm going to play this guy insane and, like, over-the-top flamboyant. And they're like, do what you do, bro.
You're going to like it.
Like a vaudeville version of, like, vaudeville hyperbolizing Broadway.
Yeah.
Yes. Vampire the Musical.
With, like, a little bit of, like, community theater acting thrown in.
Yeah.
It's just, like, that bad.
It's so good. The best part is in the fourth movie, Breaking Down Part 2, where he finally gets to, like, touch Edward and Bella's daughter, and the laugh that he does is, like... You should try to find a clip of it.
No, the riff tracks of that is the best, because they start, they're like, I can't even improve on that.
Yeah. Like, he's just like, it's like amazing.
It really is.
So good.
I didn't know people could actually make that noise.
But back to Twilight.
Michael Sheen is better.
The first time I read Twilight, I thought the Volturi was the most interesting part of it. Mm-hmm. And I still think they're the most interesting part of all four books, and that they are criminally underused as a background plot to a horrible love story that I don't care about.
I know. They're
so interesting.
There's politics there. And like,
yeah, and like they live in Rome struggles. And like people who come tour the crypts, they like eat some of them, and then they have like all these rules about like if you break our rules, we'll execute. I mean, like they're really, really interesting. Mm-hmm. Like the Volturi could, I think the Volturi could legitimately make an interesting trio, like a trilogy of books.
Yes, that somebody else would have to write because I want to watch all of them follow the stupid romances.
I was going to ask if you commissioned her to, I mean, at this point, commissioning her would cost more money than you'd ever make on it.
Because
why would she ever do anything she didn't want to do at this point?
Yeah.
But like if the publisher said, okay, we really want you to write one from the perspective of these guys, and nope, no romances allowed. Would she even be able to?
I
Because she has, like, all this interesting background.
Yeah, she really does. Like,
Carlyle has such a wealth of experience mm-hmm. that he's got to be a fascinating character if you actually got to live with him in his head for a while.
Mm-hmm. And, that's
the Volturi, some of them are, what, like, four times his age?
Yeah. And that's the thing I find, like, really kind of odd, is that clearly Stephanie Meyer is not just, like, completely airheaded. Like,
right. mm-hmm.
she has interesting stuff going on, but to yeah. her, the interesting plot was like vampire teenager right. romance.
I was in Rome the but day Julius Caesar was stabbed. But enough about that. Let's talk about this 17-year-old falling in love.
And you're like, wait.
back up, Slick.
Yeah. Even as somebody who likes romance. No. Yeah. Just no.
Pardon me.
You with the spiky teeth. Tell me more.
So. Yeah, I would just like to throw that out there, that those parts of the Twilight books I legitimately think are interesting. That's one of the reasons they infuriate me so much. Uh-huh. So, I mean, because clearly, like, we're not going to bother to, like, analyze this book in depth or anything.
What do you mean?
How?
I just want to, like, start bringing some shit up.
Let's do it.
Okay.
So, the one thing I remembered the other day from reading this book that I thought was absurd is, like, when Bella and Edward are still kind of, like, in their pissy fighting phase, she goes home, and she's, like, trying to do her homework. She can't concentrate. And by the way, Stephanie Meyer, like, all the English papers she has her write are, like, misogyny and Macbeth and, like, all this nonsense Bella would never write. So she's like, you know what? I'm gonna, like, read to take my mind off of things. I'm gonna read Jane Austen, because I love Jane Austen, because, like, deep teenagers love Jane Austen or something. So she starts reading
romance books, yeah.
Yeah. She starts reading Sense and Sensibility. Main love interest in that book, his name is Edward. So she stops reading it because reading Edward's name on the page. She's like, okay, you know what? I'm going to read Mansfield Park. So she flips to Mansfield Park. Main romantic interest in that book, Edmund. Too close to Edward.
So she can't.
So she just stops reading. I was like, you are the worst person I've ever encountered in my whole life.
She opens Mansfield Park and she's like, man, this is fucking
this
boring.
Sucks.
She opens Northanger Abbey and she's like, at least this is weird as shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, she spent a lot of nights distracted thinking about Edward while she was consciously trying to not think about Edward.
When they, like, had never talked, never admitted they liked each other, never... I mean, I guess she's a teenager, so you can't, like, falter too much for that, but...
I mean, I was a teenager. I never laid in bed sleepless all night with my headphones on because I had a crush on somebody.
I was going to say, I laid in bed all night with headphones on, but I don't think it was unrelated.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, I have done the music thing, and I did, like, dwell on crushes occasionally.
Sure.
But never to the extent where if I read a book with my crush's name in it, I was like, oh, no, I'm overcome.
There's a character named Jennifer in this book. I cannot continue.
Oh, yeah.
And what's great is knowing every time they get into listening to music in this book, they're always listening to Muse.
Yep.
Was it every time?
Pretty much.
I don't even remember.
Except for the one time it's Claire de Lune. The rest of the time it's Muse. She's totally obsessed with Muse.
Interesting.
Claire de Lune's the only classical song that exists, Ben. Didn't you know that?
Well, speaking of someone with two music degrees, I do know that.
Edward's like, I'm really into classical music and I play the piano. Let me play you some Debussy. And then instead of playing her, like, really weird Debussy, he's like, here's Claire de Lune. And she's like, whoa, this is crazy.
He's like, Schumann. He's so cute. Schumann is bullshit. He's a hack. Debussy forever!
Friends list? Fuck that guy.
Rachmana who? Drink!
Laundry's done.
I was going to make us drink anyway for yelling classical composers.
So. That's right. Mm-hmm.
So, moral issues. You know what? Since Tony's taking care of a child, I need to refill my drink. But you can keep talking.
All right. That seems reasonable. Well, moral issues, I think the one we have more than hinted at much of this time is Gabs' favorite, feminism.
Hashtag feminism,
the importance to all of these characters of being in relationships and how that basically validates their existence.
Oh my God, yes.
And,
men and women.
Obviously what we were getting at when we were talking about Bella being not actually walking anywhere once she had a man. Her feet didn't even have to touch the ground.
Esme was no longer suicidal once she had a boyfriend.
Once she had a man.
Mm-hmm. And the only really big opposing viewpoint to that is Rosalie's added angst of wanting to be a mother as well as in a relationship.
But, like, Carlisle survives for, like, hundreds of years with, like, no mate. And he's totally fine.
Yeah.
He's a little lonely, but, you know, I mean, that would be lonely. I understand that. But he does. He survives for, like, ever. And then all of a sudden has this, like, I don't know, face heel turn where he's like, no, 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 I must create other vampires. I am lonely. And then suddenly there's, like, eight of them.
I imagine that those few hundred years he was alone, Carlisle was just, like, a totally sarcastic dick because he was just... He was just doing it out of spite towards the vampire hunters.
Carlisle's, like, house or something.
So I officially request a book written about the Volturi and a book written about Carlisle pre all the other colons. That's my request.
Carlisle where he's acting like Daria.
Drink!
I want that. I want
to
read that.
Oh, I think we also had to drink for mentioning Jane Austen.
Oh, yeah. I would pay cash money to read Carlisle as Daria. Amazing. Do you hear that, publishers? I would pay for that.
I will let it be known with my prestige in the publishing industry. Yeah, so there's the whole, like, focus on relationship, which definitely, again, I know we're focusing on Twilight, but it does become a thing in the later books.
Right.
So, just so you know, that is a theme throughout, like, the whole series. There is definitely a theme of, like, gender roles and shit.
Yeah.
Because, like, Bella's cooking for her incompetent father who somehow survived on his own for 17 years before
almost,
her.
If you're a man reading the book, it almost makes you want a teenage daughter just so you don't have to cook anymore. And apparently she cooks for you and goes up to her room and leaves you the hell alone.
Yeah.
Like, sounds like the best.
How all teenage daughters
yeah,
were.
Right?
Yes.
That's exactly what I did.
Yeah, just what I want my daughter to act like.
Yeah, right? You'd want to be like, honey, make dinner. And she's like, fuck you, Dad. And you're like, oh.
I'd be like, this is why I had daughters.
She's great. You've been hanging out with your Aunt Gaz. taught me some good stuff. Yeah, so there's that going on. And then there's the whole, like, she kind of pretends to create a moral quandary about, like, whether or not to be a vampire. Because
right,
Edward and Carlisle are very torn about it. But Bella never has, like, a single moment of hesitation.
No. Nope.
And the thing that I thought, I'm going to skip ahead again, but at this point I don't really care because we've kind of devolved into madness anyway,
yeah.
Is that I thought there was this opportunity for this super, super interesting thing to happen, but she would have had to turn into a vampire earlier in the series.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Edward's obsessed with her blood. I thought it would have been fucking awesome if in, like, book two, Edward turns her into a vampire and then all of a sudden isn't attracted to her anymore.
Oh my god.
Because her smell
amazing.
Goes away.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the books become, like, Bella trying to, like, navigate being a vampire.
Well, then they could,
like,
have, like, a real love story about them having to actually like each other's personalities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, wouldn't that be so cool if that had happened?
Actually, that's a really good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that would have been great.
She loses her, like, scent that he's so attracted to, and all of a sudden he's like, uh-oh, I don't think you're interesting. She's like, you know what, you're kind of a dick too, now that I'm like on equal ground with you.
You're a weirdo who counts my breaths while I sleep.
Maybe we should break up. So, I would just like to say, for the record, we've come up with like three far more interesting alternatives in the course of talking about Twilight.
Right.
Well, the little quandaries they raise tend to go one step deep.
Yeah.
He'll go, well, I don't know if it's a good idea for me to be around you because of my, you know, bloodlust, and I don't know if I can control it, except then he never thinks about it any more deeply than that. He just lingers on it constantly.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, it doesn't matter because I really like you because you're a pasty dreamboat. And
He sparkles
in the sunlight.
There's obviously no reason for Bella to like Edward.
You're like a disco ball with teeth.
They hang out once, and then, like, the next morning, she's like, of three facts, I was entirely sure. Edward was a vampire. Some part of him hungered for my blood. And I was irrevocably in love with him.
You
I'm like,
quote,
like, a lot of that because you just quoted. Like,
quoted.
I think that was an entire chapter, and I will drink because I knew that.
But I think the first 2 points raised are the reason she's totally in love with him, like, it for is, some weird
like,
reason.
Yeah. It's like, we hung out one afternoon, and now I will never not be in love with him.
Yeah.
I found out today that my crush thinks that drinking animal blood makes you a vegetarian. And now I'm in love with him. We're going to sit and read Sense and Sensibility together.
Quite.
That would actually be more interesting than most of their actual dates.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
Or Romeo and they do read Romeo and Juliet together.
Oh yeah. Well, she seems like she takes like a really messed up love story and makes that like a reference point for all of the books. All
right, tangent.
Because there's a Wuthering Heights thing that she goes on during book two that she's like, stop.
And you know how Ben and I feel about right. Wuthering Heights.
Stop referencing classical literature to make us think you're deep, 17-year-old.
I'm 100% certain that every author ever who references Wuthering Heights has never read it.
You're probably
because
right.
I've read it, and I'm like, you have not read this book,
yeah, sorry.
Because what you are saying is not in this book.
Yeah. That hot, steamy love story?
Not
no.
there.
Yeah.
It's not this there.
This is about as much a love story as Crime and Punishment. That dude,
actually,
that dude murdering
braining
that,
a lady with an axe.
Murdering that old lady with an axe.
Well, yeah, but even he gets the prostitute with the heart of gold.
True.
Yeah,
that's true.
I mean, very true.
Wuthering Heights, they just, like, she dies and he's this, like, monstrous asshole.
So
like,
to summarize our thoughts on Twilight, Heathcliff is the worst.
And drink.
And drink.
Hooray. Well,
I was gonna say with the current audience, I think that having a date that consisted of reading Shakespeare back and forth to each other, like, all right, I'll take these characters, you take these, go. Good date, bad date. That's not a first date for sure.
I think I would want more of like a group of five people than two.
So
not like as not like that. Just. Because that's, like, legitimately fun to
right.
me.
Okay.
But I don't know if I just want to do it, like, one-on-one.
But if you made it kind of meta and you read all of it, like, I'm going to read these four characters, but I'm going to read all of them as Beatrice reading these characters.
Okay, I kind of would like.
Don't even lie.
Wait, I don't know if I'd want to do it with Scott. Because he'd be like, this is... I don't get it.
Well, fans of the podcast, if you didn't know, Scott is functionally illiterate.
My husband cannot read.
Sorry, Scott.
That is actually an ongoing joke with us. Every time I talk to Scott, something I'm like, wait, you're illiterate. He's like, oh yeah, shit.
So your joke with your husband is that he's illiterate, and my joke with my girlfriend and her friends is that all of them are functional alcoholics.
Hooray!
But they're social workers, guys. They've earned it.
Mm-hmm. Legitimately true. Scott's a musician, so he doesn't have to know how to read.
I mean, I'm a musician. I actually don't read these books. I watch the movie and then bullshit my way through the podcast.
With Twilight, honestly... pretty good.
Yeah.
You basically...
You do okay.
Yeah.
By the third one, it's pretty clear that, like, the director isn't on the joke. But the first one, no, they're totally serious with that shit.
Yeah. I have to pee so bad.
Do it.
You should do it.
And I'll cut that, probably.
Should I still use that one, or...
Oh, either one's fine.
Either one.
It's awake now, so...
The camera's working in that one, right?
In Murphy Hall, in the first floor bathroom, over one of the stalls, there was a sticker on the ceiling that said something along the lines of, camera is for research purposes only. And I wanted to find the person who put it there and shake their hand. I was like, I bet only 1 in 10 people who have used this bathroom have ever noticed that that is there.
Oh my God. And only, like, 1 in 5 of those is going to find it funny.
Right.
That's amazing.
So I was sitting there one day and I was like, oh, no. Teehee. And it stayed there. I mean, I was on campus for, you know, I did the 7.5 year plan for my 2 year degree. And that sticker was there.
Beautiful.
if you're going to put 7.5 years into a 2-year degree, the least you can do is actually finish the fucking thing.
Nah.
If it was a doctorate, it'd be different. For a master's degree, it feels like too big a waste of resources if you don't.
Yeah, fair enough.
Okay, so I've come up with an ending game
for all right.
our episode. Mm. I would like each of you to imagine what your life would be like if you had married the person you dated in high school.
Oh my god. Oh.
Go! I would already be divorced at the age of 27, I can guarantee you.
Oh boy.
Oh god, yeah.
And have at least one child that I regretted deeply.
We would have divorced about the time I dumped his ass in college when I figured out that he was homophobic.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So was mine.
Yeah. That would have been a divorce right there.
I think we would still be together, but we'd have a minimum of 3 kids. And I would spend a lot of time away from the rest of the family reading.
Mm-hmm. Tony?
Well, I would still be living in Pennsylvania. I would have learned Spanish.
Well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Well, she was Colombian.
Okay.
That's cooler than anybody I dated.
Any of our high school significant others?
Probably at least 5 kids.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh,
she was Catholic too.
Oh. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know,
I'd probably make more money. She would have browbeat me into like actually doing something with my life.
Mm. I guarantee you I would just be like a bitter, like, my fucking ex husband.
Yeah. I would be a massive alcoholic by now.
Yeah. So, Edward and Bella's future.
Oh, I would have been perfectly happy because my high school girlfriend was secretly a 117-year-old vampire. And now I would be a vampire. It would be so cool.
And your child would mature by the age of 8 and be able to screw an adult, apparently.
My high school girlfriend was Edward Cullen.
Oh, yeah, that's a thing.
Oh, wait, do they have sex when she's 8?
It's implied.
It's implied that
it says by the age of 8 she's going to be the emotional and physical maturity of an 18-year-old, and
then she's going to stop aging or whatever, and at that point her werewolf boyfriend that's been like obsessively following her around literally since birth will be still obsessively following her around, and presumably at that point decide she's old enough to have sex with.
Mm-hmm.
This reminds me.
But real quick question. What if she doesn't want to?
Oh, she doesn't get a choice in the matter.
Well, so like, allegedly the werewolf is supposed to be like, whatever you need, like your boyfriend or your friend or, but no, it's every single like werewolf whoever like impressed, like whatever the word is on someone, imprints on someone,
mm-hmm.
they always end up becoming their sexual partner.
Yeah, there's
no. So, if you have a boyfriend, I'll fuck him too. Thanks, Jacob.
Doggy style.
All right. That's nice.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say, this reminds
Jacob's
me
in
of
this book.
Oh yeah.
Jacob.
You forgot to drink.
Do shock it. Yeah, this is pretty.
He's actually not terrible in Twilight.
Yeah, he's just a dude.
Hey, he's fine. Mm-hmm. You get this impression.
He's just
got,
a dude
like, a
who's also
a
dog.
Going on or whatever, but
and Belle's just like, lol, Native Americans.
I've read about these
twice.
People.
And
Bella!
Everyone's like, isn't it great that Native Americans were in Twilight movies, which overcomes 300 years of oppression? Like, no. Yes, you are correct.
Man, yeah, like, I was
Taylor Lautner single-handedly overcomes every single past.
Yeah, I was tossing for that local.
He is actually Native American.
Yeah,
oh,
he is legitimately.
What tribe, man?
Yes.
I am not sure. Not Quaalude.
No.
I saw that he was in that movie, and I went and talked to like a local Shawnee Indian about it. Oh wait, you can't find any.
Yeah.
We murdered them all. Feel bad, white people.
You're all monsters.
Thanks, Obama.
But it's okay. If they were vampire Native Americans, they would be white now. Apparently.
See?
Yes. That is a thing.
What?
Hashtag Black Lives Matter.
Hashtag
the
Black
end.
Mic
drop.
Yeah, sure.
Good talking to you. Okay.
No, not saying. I'm just saying.
Great. Laurent became a black guy in the Twilight movie, and I so appreciated that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Producers were like, you know what? Let's make him black, and let's not have turned him
black. He's from the Potawatomi tribe.
Which is from where?
Washington?
Isn't there a Potawatomi, Kansas?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe they're Midwesterners.
Kansas?
Yeah, Kansas.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well,
I had no idea.
How about that?
Well, I don't think, well, let's see where he's
from. He's a hometown boy.
No, he's from Michigan.
Oh.
Oh.
But that's...
What a liar.
He was raised Roman Catholic.
We're all missionaries.
Yeah. I thought all 21st century Native Americans were from rock-strewn sectors of Dakota.
Oklahoma,
but not by choice.
I had a friend who works for the United Way in Montana, and she said there are a ton of Native Americans there. Mm-hmm.
Navajo is like the third most spoken language in this state.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. I've been to the Navajo Reservation in New Mexico a couple of times, and it was
even more interesting fact.
It was eye opening.
Thank you, IMDb. As Taylor Lautner was preparing for his role, he discovered that he has distant Native American ancestors on his mother's side.
So he's not actually Native American.
Blah, blah.
Right. So
he kind of looks Native American.
So the same way...
Racist.
Yeah. So the same way all of us who have slaveholders in our ancestry are probably part African.
I think our family, my mom told us, me once, that we were like 1/32nd some shit.
Right.
But I've never actually, like, bothered to follow that through because I feel like most white people are like, well, I'm like 1/64th Native American, so...
23andMe, yo. Try it.
Yeah.
No.
Well, like I said, I've been to the Navajo Reservation in New Mexico a couple times, and I think bringing that up would not have garnered a lot of sympathy.
You just walk up to them and you're like, hey guys, I'm part Native American too!
I'm 1/64th Cherokee, that makes me like you guys, right? And they're like, you see how nobody here, like, lives in a house bigger than your living room? Do you want to fuck off now,
or like 10 minutes ago?
Do you just want to, like, not be here in the first place?
You want to go die in a fire, please, in the near future?
I'm sorry. I'll go.
By the way, if anyone is interested, if you remember, Ben and I read a book called The Absolutely True Part-Time Diary of a Native American.
Sure. Yeah.
Sherman Alexie.
Yeah, by Sherman Alexie.
One of the most frequently challenged books in the 21st century.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can go back and listen to our episode or go read the book if you are interested in, like, actually hearing about Native Americans from a Native American perspective as opposed to reading Twilight. I would highly, highly recommend it.
Are you saying this is an accurate portrayal of Native Americans?
Sherman Alexie is fantastic.
So, to summarize our feelings on Twilight, all Native Americans are also shape-shifting werewolves.
See, when you went to that Navajo reservation, you're lucky they didn't turn into werewolves and kill you.
Yeah.
They wanted to.
If they could, I don't think white people would own the country now. I'm going to throw that out.
Another.
Yeah.
Can't they only turn into werewolves when vampires are present?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. The vampires have
you actually around. Find out in book four, weird. They're not actually werewolves because other tribes turn into other animals depending on blah, 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 and it's all by vampire triggering and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Interesting.
So
I mean,
nobody had to be
potentially.
A werewolf.
Potentially, but instead it's like a throwaway line in book four, then
they're like,
Jacob fucks an 8-year-old.
And there's a whole messed up thing where What's-Her-Face, like the one chick running around as a werewolf, is all pissy about it because she stopped, like, menstruating. And she really, really, really wants to be a mommy, and now she can't because these effing vampires have turned her into a werewolf. Because
everybody wants to be a mommy.
Nobody can be.
Yeah, she's the only female werewolf.
Yeah.
Everyone else is a dude, and, like, they find out while you're transforming, you actually stop aging. Hmm. So Jacob can actually stay at his age until Renesmee gets old enough to have sex with.
I see.
But Leah's all like, I stopped menstruating, which means I can't have babies, which means I'm not a real woman. And I'm like, wow, way to offend every woman ever who can't have a child, you fucking asshole.
Right?
Are you kidding me?
Also, when I was 17, or actually, anytime I'm not pregnant, I think I would have paid cash money to not have to deal with it, so.
If I stopped menstruating, I'd be like, woohoo! Well, I mean, if I wasn't pregnant. If I was pregnant, I'd be like, oh, it sucks, but that's a different story.
Right.
Hi, Will.
You know what? If you want to get pregnant, good on you. But if you're 17...
Yeah.
Probably wait a while.
Actually, in, like, my personal headcanon, Leah is, like, I'm way better than all of you. And then Jacob realizes how insane the Colons are and, like, runs off with her. And that they are just, like, normal human beings together.
I want her to do better than him, though.
Because he's, well, like, if he like, and... came to his senses.
Yeah. Right. He'd have to, like, drop the whole, like, I mean, physically threatening, abusive thing, too.
I will say
he'd have
his...
to drop, like, if when Bella breaks her hand punching him and he's like, oh, ho, ho. That's so silly. I'm sorry you didn't like it when I forced a kiss on you and then you punched me and broke your hand and that's hilarious. You can't defend yourself.
I mean, in his defense...
Drink, Gabs. Drink.
I mean, yeah. In his defense, yeah. The one thing I'll say in his defense is, as having only read the first book, when he's introduced... When he's introduced, he's only 15.
Yes.
In the first book, he seems kind of sweet.
Mm-hmm. He is.
And,
totally. Legitimately,
and
yeah.
this... Mm-hmm. Douchier Jacob, I'm assuming that in 10 years when he's matured a bit, he'll be like, I'm so embarrassed.
That's true. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's when he gets, like, really, like, physically threatening and controlling and whatever. That's what it's like, dude.
He really only starts becoming a dick once he starts, like, his werewolf transformation.
Oh, so maybe if he stops the werewolf thing, he'll stop being a dick.
Because he is, like, a legit, like, I so hesitate to say he's a nice guy because... Nice guys are typically
not nice.
Not?
Yeah.
But he's like a legitimately good person in book one.
He totally does seem decent, and it's really easy to be Team Jacob in book one because,
like
he's
I said,
not...
in the first book, he's 15. He seems kind of sweet. Like,
he is.
He has a little bit of, he obviously has a crush on Bella, but it's not like threatening or weird. He's not sneaking into her bedroom and watching her sleep.
Yeah, you can kind of forgive him. I mean, I don't understand why he'd have a crush
he's
on her.
He's just like, I like you because you're a
slightly
you're an
older
girl who will actually talk to me.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes
totally.
Sense.
Totally.
Yeah, no, I totally see what his thing is.
Yeah.
Like, whether she has a personality or not, any 15-year-old boy will like any 17-year-old girl who actually talks to him.
Yeah.
Because I did.
I think that's fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah. Seniors when I was a sophomore, ladies.
That was, like, the opposite of me. Senior boys would talk to me, and I was like, excuse me. You're wasting my space. Get out! And then I was like, why don't I have a boyfriend? Mom's like, maybe because you terrify every man you have ever talked to.
Maybe it's that jar full of testicles you carry around.
You do.
I do me.
Yeah,
you know what? I do not regret my past decisions.
And you should not.
I'm fine with it. All right, so...
We've got to wrap this up. We've got to start the show.
Welcome to the Novel Ideas Podcast.
A podcast with two siblings who are slightly inebriated.
Only slightly?
Really? You guys drank a lot.
I don't have my booze.
I wouldn't wait. I'll get your booze.
I wouldn't drive away right now. Let's put it that way.
Ben, do you have any questions for the series?
Oh,
or strengths and weaknesses of the writing?
Oh, God.
I mean, we've already talked about the strengths and the weaknesses a bit of the writing.
Well, do they ever play baseball again?
No.
I mean, they make this big thing about how the whole family loves it. It's their favorite thing to do and Mormon togetherness, whatever. But I don't, yeah, they don't.
But since it's only one thunderstorm a year, they don't get very many.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Let's see. Based on the first book, pretending like I haven't riff tracks a couple of the later movies.
I highly recommend the riff tracks to all of the Twilight films, by the way.
Yeah. Does Jacob like pizza? Does he like Bella's hair?
Does he like... butterflies.
Drink.
I think when I finished the first book, what I wanted to know, and like, full disclosure, literally the first time I ever read Twilight, I was still in high school.
Mm-hmm.
The other books were not out yet. A children's librarian recommended it to me, which, fair enough. Like, I mean, well, I was, like, a 16-year-old girl.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, you probably were the intended audience.
And when I read it the first time, I actually liked it okay. And what I wanted to know was, like, is this a standalone book? Because none of the other ones were out yet.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Does Bella turn into a vampire? What happens with the Volturi? Because I thought they were crazy interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot
that. And I'm pretty sure that was the only two questions that I had.
Well, I will say about Twilight that I read it expecting it to, I went in with an open mind. I was expecting it to be a 50 Shades of Grey experience where I tried as hard as I could and then just started hate reading at some point. And I never started hate reading. It was the first book, at least, is, at least some of my preconceived notions of it, was surprisingly readable. It was
even, I agree, actually.
It was even bordering on interesting in the second half of it at times.
I would claim it's a pretty inoffensive YA read.
Yeah. Yeah.
Twilight.
Yeah.
The first one.
The first book. It didn't stand out. I didn't read it and go, oh my God, I know why people had to have more of this. But I also, I mean, again, I was fully expecting to be 100 pages in and be like, these fucking people, I didn't know anything to do with them. I was like, this isn't bad.
She basically acts like an idiot with a crush for, like, obsessively so for a while. And I think most teenage girls do that at some point.
I say, I've read some YA books with female protagonists who are pretty unremarkable and are just like, I like these boys because I'm a teenage girl. And didn't leave a big impression, but never made me, I mean, certainly were not upsetting. And this book kind of falls into that category. Like, a lot of the stuff that is upsetting about it has to do with, well, first of all, the series later expanding and things coming out, like black people who become vampires turn into white people.
Oh my God, so bad.
Or, you know, the thing that Gabs and I are definitely both prone to, which is, this is amazingly popular, so now I don't like it on principle.
Yeah. And Edward does, like, I mean, he's creepy in book one, but he becomes downright abusive in later books.
Yeah, he's not abusive. Yeah.
It's not cool. So does Jacob.
Yeah.
And she does do the whole, like, wait, the guy I like likes me back, and she freaks out, and that's kind of, like, you almost feel happy for her. Like,
it's kind of cute.
Yeah.
And I will say, legitimately,
like, I remember the first time I felt that way.
When I was 15 or 16.
The guy who I like likes me back.
When I read this book for the very first time, when I was, like, 15, 16 years old, all of, like, the moments in book one where they almost kiss, mm-hmm. or they kiss and then, like, they have to stop, I legitimately thought were kind of hot.
All right.
Like, as a 27-year-old, I'm like, well, you're just teenagers.
Right, yeah.
Like, when I was a teenager, like, that whole, like, sexual tension of, like, we can't go any further, like, I actually thought was, like, pretty interesting.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I can actually see that from a teenage girl's perspective, too. Mm-hmm. It's like, I want them to kiss, and they finally kiss, and they have to stop, and you're like, oh, one more.
So maybe that's one of the things that the book is kind of effective with, because unrealized sexual tension is the driving force behind, like, 80% of adult drama.
Yeah. Yeah.
True that.
So in adult drama, finally, they're like, let's just have sex.
Right. Well, in half the shows where that happens, or books where that happens, it makes the narrative less interesting to a lot of the fans.
Yeah, so...
Hi, Bones!
Yeah. I can honestly see, like... Like, I think legitimately with Twilight, I can see how people are interested in it and things they found interesting in it. Like, I think it personally, like, ends up pretty bad.
Right.
But I'm not going to, like, say if you like Twilight, you're, like, a terrible person who doesn't deserve to read, you know?
No, it's if you like any of the books after it. Yeah.
Well, yeah, so, I mean, I would think any super fan of Twilight who's reflexively angry when someone disses on it a little bit would only be listening at this point if they were hate listening. But
we don't think you're a bad person, fan of Twilight.
Right. Like, there are things to like, and if you loved the first book, of course you'd want to see more of what was going on.
And I will say,
and for that matter, if you share the unstated underlying morality of the series, mm-hmm. which is not by any means intentionally creepy, even though it is frequently unintentionally mm-hmm. creepy, like, okay, to you it might be kind of a touching story. There are people who think 50 Shades of Grey is like a touching redemption story. And I don't know how they got past page 57 without wanting to murder themselves, but...
But there is nothing we can think of. Isn't a common YA female protagonist that Belle is compared to is Katniss, right?
I don't know if that's... I don't know how common would you say that is. Or I guess because they're both, like, popular YA female protagonists mm-hmm. came out around the same time. I'd say not so much anymore, but maybe when Hunger Games right. first came out.
Okay, so who would be the stronger character?
Katniss.
Tony made this awesome argument, actually, all right. the other
night. No, okay, think of it this way.
All right.
Katniss lets things happen to her. She becomes, she's through
well,
the
she entire... Well, she has to.
She
let
has,
it.
She has yeah. to. Let, I mean, she doesn't really take on a lot of agency, doesn't
the
do
Hunger
a
Games
lot.
As
okay.
a creepy rape metaphor.
No. She's constantly, she's a manipulated media tool,
mm-hmm.
really pretty much throughout, and just tries to avoid, she kind of avoids responsibility, avoids trying to take action. Bella is a female character who has a stated goal and achieves that and drives towards it.
And as good feminists, it's all about the choices the individual makes, not right. about what I think is yeah. ideal.
Exactly.
And I think this is actually like a fairly legitimate argument that even though I think if you were an 18-year-old who like gets married and wants to have a kid right away, like that it's... you maybe need to tap the brakes. Mm-hmm. Like that's what she wants and she goes for it. And when people try to convince her she should get an abortion, she says, no, I want the baby, and has it.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's like that's kind of something to that's be celebrated. Choice. Because, like, if a woman wants to have a kid, then she should have the kid, you know? Right. Like, so, like, on some levels, but I can see how, like, Bella's actually, like, being very...
And, all right. And ultimately, she's the one who is in control of her body.
Yeah.
She's the one who decides to get pregnant. She's the one who decides to kind of... She turn into the vampire. Yeah. That is her desire.
She doesn't really decide to get pregnant. It's just that, like... The two of them seem to have never figured out birth control.
So okay, well.
Just yeah, and she gets pregnant, okay, and she's like, enough. Well, I want a kid.
Yeah, but she like fills that in afterwards. At the time, it's all about finally getting in his pants. And when they do, boom, baby, because apparently nobody figured out they should be using condoms.
Well, the teenager just wanting to finally have sex with the person that they like is
right, which is all
certainly realistic.
Yes, yeah. Just use condoms, and right. then they wouldn't have had...
The thing I don't like about Bella is like... When she realizes that she's pregnant and says, oh, I really want this kid. Like, I think women who say, I want to have this kid, I screw you, like, is to be commended.
Right.
But I'm, like, really afraid the message in the books is like, well, once you get pregnant, you'll realize you wanted to be a mother all along. Yeah. Like, that's just not okay. what that's, happens. That's
right. Right. So maybe what we're discovering here is that we think that if we're going to assume that Bella is mature enough... and self-realized enough to be making all of her own decisions, that we should accept her decisions, but that doesn't mean Edward's not a creepy bastard.
Right, okay, yeah.
That's the real issue. Maybe it's the issue is not that Bella's a poor feminist character, it's that Edward is so clearly such a manipulative dude.
Yeah.
That, like, I mean, if one of my female friends was dating someone like...
Edward.
Edward, yeah, it would be... difficult not to say what is going on here.
What if when I was 18 I just showed up home pregnant with like my Edward boyfriend and been like, Ben, we're gonna get married.
Well, you wouldn't see him for 3 weeks until you found him in the shed tied to like an old toilet. And if his eyes clipped open, Clockwork Orange style,
and
in front of a copy of like the Feminist Mystique or something.
And the argument I do have to make for Katniss okay. is at the end, and I mean it takes like pretty much the whole series, but yeah. she does finally get to take control of her life at the very end of book 3. Katniss right. does, and say, "This is what I decide." Spoiler alert. Kills Coin. They send her back yeah. to 12, and that's like what she pretty much wanted.
Right.
Like, so she does get to take control of her life finally. And like, so, but it's very true that she is basically just manipulated for 3 straight books. So.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's just really interesting to think about.
It is an interesting thought. Damn it, Tony, you and your doctorate punching me in the kidneys.
PhD, bitch.
That's right. What do you have, a master's degree in drama? PhD!
All right, so verdict.
You know, it was okay.
Would you read the other ones?
On reputation, I would not. But based on... If it was only the first one and I hadn't heard anything, so we take out all the meta context. yes, I'd be willing to read the second book, but I probably wouldn't seek it out outside of the podcast context.
Yeah, my verdict is, having read the other books, it does color my reading of the first book a lot, but when I reread book one, I was never really... There were some things that super offended me, like Edward carrying Bella around everywhere... And the fact that I'm like losing my train of thought because I'm drunk.
I'd say my lips are a little numb over here.
Oh, the fact that he was like watching her while she slept and she thought that was flattering. Shit like that I thought was stupid.
Yeah.
But I think the main thing when I reread book one, like for the third time, which is just horrifying to me that I've read this book 3 times, The main thing that offended me was just I thought it was kind of boring.
Yeah.
Because it does not hold up on rereads. It's kind of interesting the first time, but the third time I was like, ugh.
It's kind of the impression I got, because, like I said, I thought it was, I wouldn't push it all the way to good, but it was readable. It was, like, I was never bored reading that first book, but when I, there's a reason I didn't reread it when we decided to do the podcast a year later.
And honestly, like, I will not put down Stephanie Meyer for making millions of dollars. Good on her.
I think I said this when I read 50 Shades of Grey. Any author who finds a way to sell multiple millions of copies, like, even if I personally don't like the work, amazing. Like,
you know what?
You're one of, like, the top 1% of people who've been read in human history. That's fucking awesome.
Yeah. If I could write Twilight 2 and sell out and make as much money as Stephanie Meyer, I fucking would.
I think I was 19 the first time I had a conversation with somebody where I said, if I could write the next number one charting hit that was bullshit, I would do it tomorrow.
Yeah, like...
write me a check, yo.
Like, I do not judge authors who sell well, because, like, that's what authors want to do.
Yeah.
And, like, authors who write, like, really good books that don't sell very well, like, I can understand the resentment, but, like, you can't really fault, like, someone who makes millions of dollars, even if you don't like the book, it's like, you know what, good for you.
Yeah.
So...
Doesn't Patton Oswalt have a bit about that? About selling out? It's like he was all about, oh, I'm not going to sell out. He was only saying that because no one was buying what he was selling.
Well, yeah, exactly. You know? No one who refuses to sell out has ever had the opportunity to sell out.
And the second someone's like, hey, Patton Oswalt, you want to be the lead voice in Ratatouille? He's right. Like, fuck yes.
Does Dan Brown care that I think his novels are bullshit?
He does not.
No. He's too busy sleeping on a hammock made out of $100 bills.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and the same thing with Stephanie Meyer and E.L. James. And like, you know what? I might not like your books, but good for you.
Or to use an example of people we do like, we mentioned multiple times during the Harry Potter podcast, J.K. Rowling.
Way to go.
She doesn't care if you think her books are good or not, because she's a billionaire.
She's literally a billionaire.
Because she wrote a book about a boy with a scar on his forehead. Fuck you, world.
And you know what? J.K. Rowling is also legitimately awesome because she donates so much of her money to charity. And I just want to say she's fucking cool for that. Right.
But did she have a wet dream about a boy with a scar, too?
She did not.
Oh, okay.
But
not before she wrote the book.
She wrote...
Afterward.
Fun Harry Potter fact. J.K. Rowling wrote most of Harry Potter and Philosopher's Stone, like, in, like, a bar as a single mother barely scraping by.
Coffee shop, I think, but yeah.
Coffee shop, okay. That makes more sense. I don't think she's an alcoholic. But it's kind of the same concept. It's like, J.K. Rowling was, like, basically in poverty and was just like, fuck, I hope this book sells. Now she's a millionaire. It's like, you know what?
Billionaire.
I double especially don't begrudge single mothers who write a book that people buy lots of.
Yeah.
Screw those single mothers.
They should just marry a nice man.
Or marry a nice man who makes a good living screwing poor people.
I also just want to say really quick, because I'm drunk. If a male and a female artist marry each other, 100% of the time, it's been proven by history, the female artist basically stops making art to support the husband. Picasso's wife was a fucking artist, and she stopped painting. Or no, not Picasso. Pollock. Jackson Pollock's wife was an artist and stopped painting to support him.
Robert Browning and Elizabeth Barrett Browning.
Yep.
Guess who's the better poet? It's not him.
No.
Frida Kahlo and Diego, what was his name?
Rivera?
Rivera. Mm. No one really remembers Diego Rivera as much as Frida Kahlo.
Their marriage was very contentious, though.
Yes, but still.
No, their marriage is fascinating. Yeah,
but breaks that rule.
It does, it does.
Yeah, but that's why it's a rule.
Yeah.
It's gotta be broken
line. I don't know, I just think it's really interesting. So I'm just saying, if I have Stephanie Meyer's husband or J.K. Rowling's husband, I'm like, baby, do what you do. I'm going to sleep in this pile of money. You go.
So would you gay marry them then?
I would.
Okay.
No, I would gay marry J.K. Rowling.
I would marry J.K. Rowling.
Okay.
I don't think I'd marry Stephanie Meyer.
I don't think I could. I don't think we'd have much to talk
about. I'd gay marry Stephanie Meyer.
She's probably a secret freak in the sun. No. We're not going to sexualize you, Stephanie Meyer. I apologize. All right, so.
Why not?
What are you reading right now?
What are we reading right now?
So I just finished a book called The Fifth Season by N.K. Jemisin. And she's worthy of notice because, one, she's an amazing author, and the book was badass. And two, she is the rare black lady fantasy writer.
Woohoo!
Yeah. And the book did some really interesting things with narrative and with... she took... Essentially, the idea behind it was she took this system of magic and, like, she had this dream about a lady power walking towards her with a mountain in tow. And then she, yeah, and then she thought to herself, okay, so this isn't like a thing you do just because it's Tuesday. This is a thing you do because you're really pissed off. And so then she wrote this book around a trio of women who were pissed off at what society was doing to them. And long story short, a continent gets ripped in half, and that's how the plot starts.
Nice. Very cool.
So yeah, read the fifth season if you're into epic fantasy and rock magic.
I'm reading The Girl on the Road by Monica Byrne, which we are podcasting. I don't know if that episode will be before or after this episode, so I'll kind of leave that there. But I've also been reading, for a different podcast that I'm going to guest host on, I've been reading The Mediator series by Meg Cabot. It's a series of 6 books she wrote, like, in the, like, late 90s, early 2000s, about a girl who can, like, see ghosts, and her whole job is to, like, you know, like, fulfill the ghost's, like, unfinished business so it can go into the afterlife. But it's hilarious because she's from New York and super sarcastic, and she can touch ghosts. So whenever the ghost gets pissy, she just, like, punches them in the face.
So you like that.
So I love these bugs. One of my friends, like, was obsessed with them, and she's like, read these, and then we'll do a podcast about, like, you know, do I just like these books because I'm 13, or, you know, like, because I read them when I was 13 or whatever. So The Mediator series by Meg Cabot, and she wrote 6 of them. And she like, just released or is about to release the 7th one, like, 10 years later, which is, like, why it's, like, a news item, because she finally finished The Princess Diaries, and so I think she's, like...
That's why I know her. Okay.
But, yeah, they're like, I don't know, 2 hours to read each book.
Nice.
They're fairly entertaining.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if you have any comments, questions, or... It'll be interesting to see what we said when I go back and listen to this one.
Intervention groups.
Yeah, right. If you think we should seek professional help, you
should
can leave.
Apologize to Mormons?
No.
No.
Okay.
No.
I mean, if you're going to found a nonsense religion during historical times, it's your fault. You can leave a comment on our website, novelideaspodcast.com.
You can find us on Twitter. This particular podcast, you can find at Novel Ideas Pod, or if you want to tweet me specifically, I am at Classic Sum Up.
Yeah, at Novel Ideas Pod is technically both of us, but basically me.
And I'm Classic Sum
Up. And I never look at it, so.
Better off to tweet me, guys.
That's it. Actually, I do look at it. I get notifications and shit.
We are
just
also...
Just no one talks to me because I'm boring.
We are also officially part of the Minerva Podcast Network.
MinervaMag.com?
Yes, find us at MinervaMag.com. Leave a comment on that website or on our website. Either one's fine. And you can find Minerva on Facebook or on Twitter. And if you do that, I will respond to you.
There might be a Novel Ideas Facebook soon.
Yes. That is the plan.
Also, we're on iTunes, apparently.
We are. We even have a logo now. It's very exciting. Thank you, Rhea.
Thank you. Also, special thanks to Kim and Tony for letting us record in their place and feed us their booze.
Yes.
Next time, we don't know which order we're actually going to post podcasts we've recorded. We'll try to stay on top of that a little bit, at least. We'll give you at least a week's notice. But I think that's going to do it this time.
I think so.
And we'll see you next time.
Bye.